In the last session, we examined how our Lord's thoughts in His heart were. Wherever He was or whatever He did, all His thoughts and heart were goodness and love. Then, have you determined to follow His examples and set them as standards in your life? If you have, you will look at your own thoughts and even the depth of your heart in light of the truth. However, thoughts and hearts are not visible. So, although we have fleshly thoughts or thoughts that are not of goodness, we may not take it seriously or just think it's okay because we did not commit a grave sin. We may justify our evil thoughts, thinking we cannot help it. However, we want to become the Lord's beautiful bride. Therefore, we need to check our thoughts and feelings closely, even when they are momentary, based on goodness and truth, and try hard to follow the truth. Today, I will talk about how Jesus' eyes, ears, lips, and His attitudes were. I sincerely hope that this message will serve as a mirror to look at yourself so that you can quickly fix your shortcomings and resemble our Lord. What did Jesus see with His eyes? Jesus' eyes always focused on the souls, and He always looked up to heaven. His eyes were only filled with goodness and love. Firstly, Jesus had eyes of mercy for the souls. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, "Seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd." Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 reads, "When He went ashore, He saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick." Wherever Jesus was, many people gathered from different villages. He didn't get proud of Himself, thinking, "They've come only to see me." He didn't intend to be their king. But He only healed the sick and fed them with spiritual bread out of His love and mercy for the souls. Furthermore, Jesus fed 5,000 men, besides women and children, with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 3 reads, "At the time, the Bible explains about His heart, what kind of heart He had. It is described in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. In those days, when there was again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples and said to them, 'I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance.' Even as a Son of God who had such tremendous power, He delicately cared for what people ate. Here, we can find Jesus' love and His serving heart. Mostly, people of wealth, honor, and authority ignore or look down on those who have less or no power, and they don't feel their pain. Let's say one person used to be poor, but now he became wealthy and has power. But he has to take care of the poor. But many people do not act like that. You know, there is an old saying, Korean old saying that says, hard times are soon forgotten. People usually cannot think of the past times and past hardships. With their eyes, they seek better worldly things and desire to take them. However, the Lord's eyes were on people who were sick and poor, and He harbored these souls in His heart. Then, what about your eyes? Did you look at those who are recognized and wealthy with eyes of respect, while you looked at the poor and the neglected with the ignoring eyes? Let's say you think of one person as this person is just a little person and he's nothing. If you have such a heart, your eyes also show your heart. When you have such a heart or ignoring heart, your eyes may show your heart. And through your eyes, people can see your arrogance. There are also people who look at others with eyes filled with judgment, hatred, and evil. We cannot see our eyes. Of course, we can see our eyes with mirrors. When we look in the mirror, we may see ourselves with beautiful eyes, like good eyes. But sometimes we frown and our eyes are filled with judgment and hatred. Then we cannot see our eyes, but other people can see our eyes filled with judgment, hatred, and evil. So we need to check our eyes all the time. Let's say one person in the meeting, and in the meeting there are like tens of people and hundreds of people there, and sometimes I had a meeting with a small group. Then I can see some people dozing off. And one person saw the person who was dozing off, and she poked her and woke her up. But the person who was dozing off woke up and then again fell asleep. And then the person who tried to wake her up had eyes filled with judgment. I could see her eyes. Of course, I could see the person who were dozing off, but I could see the eyes of the person who tried to wake her up. Her eyes were not filled with some compassion. Her eyes were filled with judgment. Like, we may wake someone up, like with giving candy or giving some massaging. But some people just try to wake the person up with eyes filled with judgment and hatred. I will talk about Jesus' attitudes. But from the next session, we will check our attitudes. So today, we have to reflect upon our attitudes based on the attitudes of the Lord. You may have thought that I have to give advice to someone. But if you have a heart that is filled with hatred, your eyes will show your hatred. Your eyes. You should check your eyes. When you see your eyes that are filled with judgment or hatred, Father God will not like it either. So when you see someone who is not of goodness, you must not see the person with evil. You also need to see the person with goodness. If you have such hatred or ill feeling towards the person will not change. The person will just hate you as well. So you must have good heart toward the person. And you have to be determined to change yourselves first. When you have such eyes filled with goodness, you can change other people also. So I sincerely hope that all of you will have the eyes of our Lord and look at others with mercy and love. Also, Jesus always looked up to heaven with his eyes. He had eyes of faith that only relied on God. We can find in the Bible that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven when praying for the dead Lazarus. In addition, when he manifested the miracle of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, says he looked up toward heaven and blessed the food. When he healed one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, he also looked up to heaven with a deep sigh. Then he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened," and he was healed. John chapter 17 verse 1 says, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." In addition, in many parts of the Bible, we can find scenes where Jesus prayed looking up to heaven. Jesus always looked up to God the Father in heaven, and he demonstrated to people that all the signs and wonders manifested by him came from God the Father. So Jesus told many times about heaven and God to his disciples and people. It was because Jesus did not just look at the life on earth, but he had spiritual eyes to see invisible heaven. So Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 10 verse 23, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see." What did the disciples see? They saw the power manifested by Jesus. The eyes that see the power of God are really blessed. Jesus made them realize that they were blessed to have eyes to witness God's power on this earth and to long for the life in heaven by faith. Your eyes also are blessed. You have seen the power of God on this earth. In the Bible, there are many powerful works manifested by Jesus written in the Bible. People, of course, we can see and read the powerful works written in the Bible, but Jesus also said people will not simply believe unless they see signs and wonders. But you have seen powerful works so many times, and you have heard so many testimonies from many people. So we need to know and realize that we are so much blessed. So it also indicates that there is heaven and there is God. We need to make all the experience as our faith. If some people just see the reality, during the Exodus, they saw so many miracles, but they were stupid enough to enter into Canaan. They just saw the reality. We need to overcome everything with faith. We need to have the eyes of faith. Then, do you have the eyes of faith, or do your eyes only look at the reality? Did you ever get discouraged and grumble against God in hardships and trials? You have seen so many powerful works, but you have been faced with hardships, and you have troubles. And then, if you just grumble against God, and where is the powerful work that you have seen? You have to put the power of God in your heart, and you have to remember the power. Father God can revive the dead, and He can open the eyes of the blind. He can do everything. He can heal any diseases that cannot be healed by medicine, modern medicine. So you have to think like that. Father God can do it. So even if I am in trouble, I can overcome everything by the faith in God. Father God wants you to have this kind of faith. So that is why God set up this church and have shown so many works of power. And He wants us to see the spiritual world with spiritual eyes, even though you are on this earth and in reality. And He wants us to go see beyond the reality. And He wants us to live with Him forever as His children. Please check yourself whether you have the eyes of faith and always have thoughts in faith and pray to God. At the time of the Exodus, the 12 spies among Israelites watched the land of Canaan but came back with different reports. Through this incident, we have to learn some lessons. They saw, they witnessed the same Canaan land. But the confession of two spies and the rest were different. While Joshua and Caleb said they will be our prey, they said, God is on our side. So we can overcome everything and we can conquer the Canaan. But the other 10 spies complained and grumbled against God. They said, they compared themselves to locusts, small locusts. They just complained and grumbled against God because they did not look at the reality with the eyes of faith. For this reason, they failed to put their step on the land of Canaan. Even in the same reality, same situation, people see things differently. Depending on the faith that they have, they see everything differently. But God has shown so many works of power. And He wants us to rely on Him in difficulties and troubles. I wish that all of you will trust and rely on God and thus will be led to prosperous and blessed lives. Also, Jesus' eyes were spiritual eyes that looked at the souls with the eyes of faith. He healed the Gentiles whom the Jewish people looked down on and those who they treated as sinners because He looked at their inner hearts. Knowing Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, would turn from his ways, Jesus visited his house and gave him salvation. Even when He saw His disciples' weak faith, He expected in faith they would change in the future. Likewise, Jesus saw everything only in the truth, love, mercy, and goodness. Rather than looking at solely what is seen on the outside, He found spiritual meaning on the inside. Fourthly, let us examine Jesus' ears. Evil people slandered and insulted Jesus, saying, He is demon-possessed. He is possessed by Beelzebul. It is the work of Satan. However, Jesus clearly discerned the things to hear from the things not to hear. So, even when He heard such words, He didn't get discouraged or distressed. Of course, our ears are open, so we can hear something that we do not want to hear. But the words must not hurt your feeling. Actually, Jesus could read the hearts of men, hearts of people, so He could hear the words and also read the hearts of man. And He could hear the voice of hearts from man. He knows everything. He knew everything. However, he did not put the words, evil words in his heart. It's really wise. And it would be really comfortable. But why are you suffering? Do you have anyone to hate you? Does somebody hate you? Does somebody slander about you? So you are feeling bad? No. It means that you have the eyes that are not of goodness. The eyes of goodness, ears of goodness, just pass some evil words by. Just let them go. Because you remember the words, the evil words, so that's why you hate somebody who talks ill of you. So the ears, you have to pay attention to your ears. Of course, our ears are open so we can hear the words, some evil words from others, but you can change the evil words into goodness. Like one person came to you and someone spoke ill of you, and then you may say and you may think, no way, the person must not done so, cannot have done so. So, and you can pray to God, Father, please let me just embrace others and pass some words, some evil words by, and let them go. And do not remember evil words, and just let them go. Just accept good words and happy words in your heart. Don't feel frustrated. Don't feel discouraged. If you feel discouraged, it means that your heart is narrow and your heart is small. So do not blame other people. Just check your eyes and ears. And just think that your ears are not of goodness and just change them. Just as the Bible says, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. He didn't put in his heart those words. Because Jesus heard everything in the truth, rather than resisting, judging, and condemning words with evil, he embraced them in goodness. Then, did Jesus end up only suffering this way? No. Good always prevails evil. Through Jesus' goodness, the enemy devil and Satan fled in seven ways, and all things worked together for good. And what is more, Jesus gave teachings to evil people so that they would turn from their ways. When Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners in the house of Matthew, the tax collector, the Pharisees asked, with an evil intention, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? However, Jesus did not resist them with evil, but rather taught them in the truth, saying, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Even when people brought a man with a withered hand to accuse Jesus, he tried to make them realize the truth. He said to them, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, what man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? Upon saying this, he healed the man's hand. The ears of Jesus only changed the people with the truth. Also, he discerned everything only in the truth, without personal feelings. Do you remember how Jesus acted while he was tested 3 times after the 40-day fasting? Matthew chapter 4 verse 3 says, And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And verses 8 and 9 says, Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. These were the words of temptation that seemed beneficial to him. Yet, Jesus gave 40-day fasting. And Satan said, Command that these stones become bread. It sounds like the tempter acknowledged Jesus' power. But it's not like that. It's temptation, the word of temptation. Yet, Jesus was not tempted, but instead gained the wonderful victory with the word of truth. Verse 4 says, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And verse 10, Then Jesus said to him, Go, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. We must have Jesus' ears and clearly discern what we hear in the truth. Do you, by any chance, have fleshly ears and hear anything in a fleshly manner? When a man seduces a girl, he may say to her, You're beautiful. And she likes it. And she likes the word. And she may fall into the temptation. What about the financial fraud? And someone may say to you, I will give you more money if you invest in this. But if you have greed in your heart, you cannot discern exactly. So you must cast away greed first. In Korea, those who easily agree with what others say, we describe them as having shallow ear. Individuals with shallow ear get proud and are deceived by others' compliment and sweet talk. Like, let's say some people may tempt you and let's say person A speaks ill of person B, and he again and again talks about the person B and spreads bad words about person B. Then you must not hear the person A's words. Of course, you can comfort the person A's heart, but you must not condemn the person B together. The person A may bring you on his side. So, we must not believe any words we must discern the words of others in every situation. If we are to find such an example in the Bible, it's Eve. Eve failed to keep her ears and her heart. She listened to the serpent's temptation, altered what God had told her, and committed a great sin of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How did she change the word of God? Father God said, You will surely die if they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent asked a question of her. Is it okay to eat all the fruit from the trees? Every animal, every insect in the Garden of Eden knew that they must not eat, they should not eat the tree from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But serpent asked this question, and Eve should have rebuked the serpent. But Eve just said, God said, you will die. And she changed some words of God. And then the serpent said, no, you will not die. And you will become like God. And then Eve was tempted. So we need to discern every word from others based on the truth. But if you hear some words with some kind of personal attachment to others, you may be tempted. We must not become a stupid person whose heart is easily deceived by sweet, tempting words. Whenever Jesus, who is our hope and the one we ought to resemble, heard something, he changed what he heard into the truth. I sometimes think that we need a filter in our ears, like the filter in the air cleaner, air purifier. The bad air comes in the air cleaner, and then fresh air comes out. And I thought that it's really good for us to have this kind of filter in our ears. Even when someone says to you evil words, you may just change them into the truth. Then you will not judge or condemn others. Even if some people say to you that someone is evil, someone did something wrong, and you may say to the person, we must not do it. We have to stop it. Of course, sometimes you are in the situation where you have to hear some words from others. But you then, please do not put the words in your heart and just let them go. And we must not easily condemn or judge others. So we have to check our ears, eyes, lips all the time. We must not use our ears, eyes, lips to commit sins. Father God tells us not to judge and condemn others. Even though you saw something clearly, it could be different from the truth. So we must not condemn others. For this reason, there was no evil in his answers. He only made people realize the truth with the words of truth and goodness. Therefore, we must have spiritual ears just like Jesus so that we can change whatever we hear into the truth. You can do it. Don't spread bad rumors or bad words to others, even though you hear something from other people. Just stop it if you hear bad words from others. And just stop thinking about it. And just make your ears the ears of goodness. If you try hard like this, your hearts even will be changed into goodness. Fifthly, how were Jesus' lips? In the words of his lips were only goodness and love. He never said something useless or unnecessary. He preached the gospel that gave life to people and only glorified God with his words. With his gentleness and mercy, he let people comprehend his spiritual messages through parables. Jesus did not resist the evil ones with evil, and whatever things he said, he only said things in the truth and goodness. The scribes and the Pharisees tried to test Jesus in many ways to accuse him. Every time they did so, Jesus never argued with them, although he knew their evil intentions. It's because he did not have ill feeling or an uncomfortable heart at all. He only tried to let them realize the true meaning of God's word through his good and wise words. When they did not realize their wrong thoughts, despite his exhortation, he quietly left the place rather than argued with them. Let's become like him. Even when someone says evil words, pastors may have to give advice to the person. If the person does not listen to you, do you have to keep talking and keep saying to them, the person, and giving advice? Just, you have to quietly leave the place. You have to leave the place. Like losing is winning. Not arguing is the truth. Not arguing, not quarreling is the truth. When you see, you may see some person who says evil words and does evil act. You may think like that, oh, if I do not give advice to him, he will never know about his wrongdoings. But he keeps giving advice. And you may think that it is only me, that it can change him. But the person will never change if you argue with him. You have to just pray and commit everything to God. And you have to do goodness to the person. And from the goodness in your heart, you can change the person. But if you think the person is evil, you cannot change the person. If you have ill feeling, and you cannot change the person. And not arguing is really good. But after that, you have to pray. Pray for him. Of course, I can say something to him and give advice to him. I'm here to pray, Father God. You can pray like this. And the many words cannot change people. Only the words inspired by the Holy Spirit can change people, can renew people. So the words of goodness, the words of love can change people. Only the Holy Spirit and Father God can change people. How did Jesus act when he was questioned at the Pilate's court after he was captured in God's providence? Despite his sinlessness, he did not protest or say anything for his defense, except that he said a few words to let people understand God's providence. He did not say anything to defend himself, although he was given opportunities to do that. Even while he was wrongfully suffering, he only wanted to fulfill Father God's will. He did not quarrel with anyone, but instead offered up prayers of love for those who persecuted him. From his lips always flowed out the words of life that provided life for people. He did not only spoke sweet words that men liked to hear, but he also spoke words of exhortation that changed the hearts of men. Therefore, through every word coming out of his mouth, Jesus benefited people. However, how were the lips of such evil people as the priest and the Pharisees? We can see they tried to find faults with Jesus despite knowing Jesus' good ministry. They judged, condemned, and told lies. Their words were destroying and slandering words. Are your words giving life to people? Or are you destroying and hurting people with your words? Do you distress or give hard times to others by speaking ill of them, complaining, lying, or saying harsh words? We must not do so. In your meeting, there are some people who complain and give reprimand all the time. Then, people around them feel uncomfortable. And they may say, why are you doing so? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this like this, this way? Even in family, in some meetings or some missions, those words are not helpful. Of course, we sometimes need to say something that is helpful for the meetings or family, but we must check our hearts. And we must think of our hearts. You have to be wise and of goodness. Sometimes your uncomfortable words make other people really uncomfortable in the meetings. So we need to check our lips, and we must not complain or grumble in every situation. Or do you have a beautiful lips as our Lord and always compliment others, praise and pray to God, plant faith in others' heart, and evangelize people? I hope you will have this kind of beautiful lips. And we need to remember, when we talk much, it is easy to make mistakes, and even saying unnecessary things is useless, and it is not truth. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 19 says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The Bible put emphasis on the importance of words and lips. And one example is James chapter 3 verses 8 through 12. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. It says a restless evil. The tongue is a restless evil. With that, we bless our Lord and Father, and with that, we curse man who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. As the passage says, we must let only fresh water flow out from our lips. By doing it, we will be blessed Christians and thus will receive from God for whatever we ask Him in prayer. Do you want to receive blessing quickly? Then you need to have good lips that are pleasing to God. You may say, Father, I love you and I want you to give me this. But if you have lips that are not of truth, you cannot receive the answers quickly. Only you need to say the confession of faith. And then, if you pray to God for blessing, Father God will quickly give you the blessing. Lastly, how were Jesus' attitudes? As we find in Matthew chapter 12, verse 19 through 21, Jesus did not break a battered reed and did not put out a smoldering wick. And he did not quarrel nor cry out, nor would anyone hear his voice in the streets. The verses indicate how perfect and blameless Jesus was in his walking posture, demeanor, and his words. In other words, all his deeds looked highly educated and elevated. Moreover, even though Jesus had much power as the Son of God, he never ignored or neglected anybody, even a little child. He said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." And also, he put into practice what he spoke. In John chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 is a scene where Jesus asked a Samaritan woman for some water when he arrived at a village named Sychar in Samaria. Knowing that Jews wouldn't associate with Samaritans, this woman was very surprised. Looking at the scene alone, we can find Jesus did not neglect anybody. Also, we can know that in every place he visited, he evangelized the people and glorified God. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5 describes a scene of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Due to regional characteristics of Israel, the Jews had a custom to wash the feet of their guests. But mostly, this was done by servants of the house. However, even as a teacher, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Seeing this, Peter became embarrassed and said, "Never shall you wash my feet." Peter said in such a way because having his feet washed by his own teacher went against manners and courtesy that he learned. Nevertheless, Jesus did it in order to educate his disciples on attitudes and heart they should keep as they would testify to the Lord's resurrection and proclaim the gospel. Jesus wanted them to preach the gospel with attitudes of sacrifice and service by keeping in mind his examples of sacrifice and service. Not only what Jesus taught, but his every action and attitude were truly good and beautiful. For this reason, many of those who met Jesus came to love him to the point of death and dedicated their own lives for him. Then, what about your attitude? Have you ever caused others to frown at you with your rough and hasty behaviors or harsh language? Did you ever insist on your own thoughts and ignore others with arrogance? Are you making sure to keep the place where you stayed always clean and organized? And not to cause any discomfort or damage to others? Even the worldly people do so. And we, who learn the Lord's attitudes, should follow these rules. We must tidy up the places where we were. Then, people who do not know us even say, "You are really good." Do you make sure you don't look luxurious or dirty to others? Are you trying to resemble the Lord even when it comes concerning this kind of small manners, small things? Is for us to become beautiful brides of the Lord. The effort to resemble our Lord starts from putting these small things into practice. As we fix our deeds one by one and resemble the Lord, we can be Christians commendable even to worldly people. From the last session, I've explained about the deeds of the body we should keep under control, categorizing them into six fields. As we were examining the deeds of Jesus, we found all his deeds spotless and blameless. His every deed demonstrated good examples for us to follow. We can understand that his deeds came from his highest level of goodness, humbleness, and from his inner heart filled with spiritual love. Jesus' love and his deeds had amazing power to transform even the hearts of man. When he was arrested to be crucified, his disciples fled from him, and one of his disciples, Peter, denied having known Jesus in great fear. At the moment Peter denied Jesus the third time, Luke chapter 22, verse 61 says, "The Lord turned and looked at Peter." Now, what do you think Jesus' eyes and his thoughts were like at that moment? Having seen Peter running away from him and denying him, did they show Peter eyes of Peter with eyes of disappointment and hatred? Never did he do so. Jesus rather looked at Peter with eyes of mercy and love. Having known Peter's denier in advance, he thought how heartbroken Peter would feel. So Jesus' eyes were filled with forgiveness, strength, and courage to get him back up. Through this Jesus' love, Peter began to repent, weeping bitterly, and later became a disciple who offered even his life for the Lord without hesitation. Even today, our Lord is looking at each one of you with the same love and heart. Understanding His love from the bottom of our heart, we must become true children of God, taking after the life of our Lord. First, we must strive to attain a good and spiritual heart as our Lord. In addition, we have to make all of our deeds, such as our looks, facial expression, words, gestures, walking posture, and the way we dress, resemble our Lord by always thinking, "What would Jesus do?" I sincerely pray that by thinking, hearing, speaking, and acting with the Lord's heart, you will be commended by the Lord, our groom, as written in Song of Songs, "You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you."
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers: stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.